It's again my pleasure to introduce Dr. Sam Mandel from Harborview. He's an assistant professor of surgery. He does trauma, critical care, and burns at Harborview. He's done a burns and trauma and critical care fellowship. His interest is in telemedicine health, and I'm looking forward to hearing his experience with that. Thank you, Sam. I'm here to
do video. Thank you. Good morning. How many people here work at a burn center? All right, some. And how many people here have done telemedicine in some form? Okay. How many people here have called the burn center for a consult? All right, good. So I would argue that if you've called a burn center for a consult, you've participated in telemedicine. What I'm going to talk to you a little bit about is why that is and how we can kind of optimize some things. The ACS would very much like you to know that I have written burn chapters for UpToDate, and they paid me to do it. None of them are on telemedicine. So I'm going to talk a little bit about why telemedicine for burns, what the case for it is, what it is, some resources that that you can use if you're interested in pursuing this further, and then how we've done this at Harborview to kind of streamline outpatient burn care. So we've heard a little bit that burn care is regionalized. So these are maps of burn centers. They're a little bit old, but it's not particularly changed from the one on the left. So the right side was verified burn centers in 2009, and the left side was all burn centers. And the shaded areas represent travel time to a burn center by helicopter. So if you are in a dark shaded area, you are 1 hour away from a burn center by helicopter. And if you're in a light shaded area, you're 2 hours away by helicopter. All right? And we've already heard how not all patients need to get put into a helicopter and flown to a burn center, but a large number of these small outpatient burns are a great deal of distance away from specialized care. And burn care can be rather specialized. To put this another way, these are all burn admissions in Washington State over 4 years. The dark blue bar is the total number of admissions in the state. The light blue bar are admissions to Harborview. All right. All of the other hospitals are represented by the bars that you cannot see down below. All right. So throughout the entire state of Washington, almost every single patient that's admitted for burn care gets admitted to the burn center. But you'll also notice that the number of total admissions is going down. And if you carry this out, it plateaus right at around 550 to 600 admissions, which is about 150 to 200 fewer than we used to see. And where are all these patients going? Well, we're shifting them into the outpatient setting, and you've already seen how this happens. So here's a child, just like we just heard about. This is a second degree burn that would require a fair amount of wound care. These patients used to get admitted to the hospital for several days to get their burn treatment. Now we take this piece of gray foam, we throw it on there, we wrap it up, we don't use tape, just like we heard from Dr. Palmieri, and we take it off 7 to 10 days later, and the patient's healed. All right, so this is a kid who used to be admitted to the hospital and is now treated in the outpatient setting. But we do have challenges in how we can make this happen either outside the burn center for a patient who's 100 miles away from us, or if we do send them out after initially seeing them, how do we see them or follow up with them 7 to 10 days later when this dressing is ready to come off? And telemedicine can help us mitigate some of those challenges. And simply put, telemedicine is just the remote delivery of medical care using telecommunications. And the telephone counts. It's sort of the most basic form. We've all been doing it for a really long time. The question is, how can some of the newer technologies that are coming out, internet, wireless radio is still used in Alaska, satellite phones, telephones, and voice over IP and things like that, how can those help us optimize the way that we're providing remote care? And in fact, there are resources available for looking at how these how things can be set up in an optimal way. So the American Telemedicine Association actually has guidelines for establishing telemedicine programs. In particular, there is one on teleburn, which was published in April of 2016. And these will cover a lot of the basics of how to provide remote care based on some of the standard formats. So store and forward, which is a fancy way of saying I take a picture and I send it to someone so that they can look at it. Or the patient takes a picture and they send it to me so that I can review it. Or video conferencing, where you actually use an application to do face-to-face video conferencing. One of the key things that these guidelines provide is that telemedicine in its basic forms is no different than providing in-person care. You still have to treat the patients the same way. You still have to provide thorough evaluations. The question is simply how you're going to go about doing some of the examination or some of the history questions. What the ATA can also provide you is information based on your own municipality. So they have statewide scorecards, and this is the one for Washington State. But they have one for every state. And what it will do is it will go through some of the barriers or advantages in your local community to how you can set up telemedicine programs. So if you're concerned about whether or not your patients can email you pictures or whether that violates any local statutes, they can help you find out information like that. They can also provide information on what licensing is required within the state or whether or not specific credentialing is required in order to participate in certain types of telemedicine activity. There are some desirable features you do want to have if you're going to choose a telemedicine platform, and there are many to pick from. You want your platform to be portable, right? We've actually already solved this for some of the most basic forms of communication. It used to be that you had to have be near a telephone for telephone consultation and transfer, right? That's no longer true. Everybody has a cell phone. And so telephone consultation went portable a long time ago. Now, video conferencing and photographs are also portable. With smartphone technology. So we use an application called Zoom, but there are several others out there that can provide HIPAA-compliant video conferencing or sending phones or sending images. You want good connectivity. So you don't want to be, you can't basically do good video conferencing if you're using old dial-up connections or poor technology. You want things that are easy to use, and good quality imaging is really important. In a lot of ways, video conferencing lags behind photographs in this respect, and so combining technology, so doing a video conference so you can speak face-to-face with the patient while at the same time viewing real-time images of their wound that they just sent you can be very helpful for improving resolution. And then ideally, they'll be integrated into the EHR so you can get good documentation of what it is that you're doing. So we've heard a lot about transferring an outpatient, and this is, as was described earlier, what used to happen. All burns were severe burns. You see a burn in a community hospital, they get put into some sort of transport vehicle. You call the burn center, you send the patient to the burn center. And more what we're now trying to do is patients seen at the outside hospital, they call us. The outside hospital provides care, the patient's discharged, and then if necessary, they follow up with us sometimes 10 days or even 2 weeks later. And how we can use telemedicine to streamline this process? Well, the first thing that we need to do is make sure that patients get the kind of coaching that we want them to have, learn the kind of stretching that we want them to have, and that providers can learn the types of wound care that we want them to have. So how can we solve that problem? Well, what we did is we made videos and deployed them on the internet. So we made precise videos that are short, easy to digest, which cover things from wound care all the way up through stretching of all major body parts, hands, feet, face, shoulders, exactly as our therapists would do it. And then we made them available on the internet so that we can give them to outside providers who are calling us in consultation and patients who are going to remain outpatient who can continue to have real-time coaching throughout their time. And what we've found is that many patients will come to clinic and they can already do most of what we used to teach them at the first clinic visit. So this was one way that we were able to start the support before we ever even saw the patient. Next, we mapped out what our consultation process was, and we inserted into it the ability to send us both store and forward pictures, so pictures for consultation, or request video conferencing if a phone conference wasn't considered adequate. And we broke this down into pathways, and our transfer center nurses were all trained on how to put patients into different pathways and how to coach outside providers. So the black pathway remains the classic, right? I have an 80% burn I need to send to you. The transfer center recognizes that. They call the burn provider on call, and the patient comes, no problem. But then we have I have a really small burn, but I still think that the patient needs to come to the transfer center. So what we now have is the transfer center nurses will actually coach the outside facility on how to perform wound care, how to clean and dress the wound for transport the way we'd like it to be done, then contact the burn provider to discuss whether the patient needs to be transferred and the transfer can happen. Or for the outside provider who has a small burn and says, I think this is not something that needs to go to a or be transferred, but it's something that I think needs to be followed up. And we've seen examples of that in the previous talks. Those providers get educated on wound care, how to debride them. We have them send us pictures so that we get a baseline for what the wound looks like. And a clinic appointment is made without ever having to take the time to track down a burn provider or have a face-to-face call. And then the vast majority of our patients fall into this category, which is, there's a minor burn, I could send this person directly home, but I'm not really sure exactly how to take care of it, or I have questions about the care. And here, we set up the ability to have initial coaching on cleaning and viewing the wound, so the pictures can be taken and sent to directly to the burn provider. So before you consult with the burn provider, they have already seen the wound and know exactly what it is that you're trying to describe, or you can request a video consultation. You speak to the burn provider. We also include in that viewing of the videos for patients and outside providers, and we can arrange transfer or clinic follow-up as appropriate. So how does this work? Well, the vast majority of our patients are either in the green or blue pathway, meaning they come directly to clinic, or we're able to have them come to clinic after a discussion with the burn provider. Whereas very few patients need direct transfer or immediate transfer to the burn center. And these patients come from all over. So it is not that these patients are all in remote regions. We have a lot of patients who stay as outpatients through the use of either video conferencing or photograph consultation, who are right around the region. So this works, I think, right? No. It's not on. Let me show you. I need a pointer. Thank you. So Harborview, this does not work, is right in the top left corner, right on Puget Sound, right here. And you'll notice that most of these blue pathway patients, so patients who want a consultation but don't need to be immediately transferred, come from actually within the city itself or immediately around it. And so a lot of these transfers, even though we think of telemedicine as coming from far away, a lot of these transfers are from our immediate area and still save us a fair amount of time and resources. And the patients who are in this pathway of, I'm not sure about what to do, but I want to do a consultation with videos or with photographs, what happens to them? The vast majority of these patients follow up in clinic, which is the green bars. Several of them just follow up with us by phone, which is orange. And on a month-by-month basis, as you see here, fewer than 20, and mostly about 10 to 15 of these patients are actually transferred to the hospital itself. And so we've actually been able to shift most of these patients into the outpatient setting and still get good follow-up with them. So that helped us in terms of setting up our transfer, streamlining our transfer process, but we still needed a way to be able to follow up the patients once they're in our system. And so we set it up so that the patients themselves can send us burn pictures, and so we can evaluate them. And this is our data looking back over about 5 years. We have over 400 visits for these small burns, median burn size of 2%. Most of our patients are in Washington, but we have done this with patients in Alaska, Idaho, and Montana, as well as one from Pennsylvania and Utah, who were burned in Washington. And most of these patients live about an hour away from the burn center. And for patients who needed further evaluation after looking at the pictures, we established video conferencing directly with the patients. Fewer patients require this, but again, they're from all over the region. and most of these patients were much farther away. So you'll notice now for our region, the median distance from the burn center for patients who followed up by video conference was 274 miles. So you can imagine asking somebody on a weekly basis to have their wound evaluated to come 274 miles to the burn center so we could look at it and say, oh, that looks good, it's healing. And now we're able to do that either by video or a combination of video and photographs directly from the patient. And it saves time. So instead of the patient traveling for 2 days to the burn center and coming for a long visit, they now have a 46 minute on average visit with us over video conferencing, and it takes 11 minutes of provider time in order to provide the same follow-up care. And this is the geography that we're able to cover with pictures and with video conferencing follow-up. It covers the entire state of Washington and essentially the entire northwest of the United States all the way up to Alaska. And we can get paid for it. This is a reimbursement, and you'll see that for several of these patients were in the postoperative global period. But patients within the state of Washington, we were actually able to bill most of these as outpatient visits. And for those states where we weren't licensed, as licensing remains a problem, we skipped the billing. Video conferencing is required for billing in almost every state by Medicare, with the exception of Alaska and Hawaii, where you can, in fact, use just photographs for billing. And then one of the key components of any of these programs is you want to make sure that you're analyzing what you're doing on an ongoing basis. Looking at what are your strengths. So leverage your system. If you're in the healthcare system with a burn center or a wound care center, set up a system whereby you can streamline your consults with that entity. Find patients and providers who are willing to do this. Not all patients prefer video conferencing. Some of them just want to come. It doesn't matter how far away it is. And remember that burns is a specialty service, which makes it ideally suited for low volume specialty care like this. There are some weaknesses to doing this. So patient providers in the outpatient setting who aren't familiar with burn care can balk at participating in it. Proxy credentialing and licensing can be a serious problem. Most states do not have any reciprocal licensing. It's very expensive to get licenses in multiple states, and that can be very efficient. But there are lots of opportunities to use things like videos, contracting for outpatient care, and identifying champions within your own healthcare system who can help you to streamline this. You just have to be mindful of what your workflow is and make sure that you're not just inserting new technology that's going to disrupt your workflow and actually make care more less efficient rather than more. Thank you.